I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble.
People who were saying, oh, I can see them sneaking into the top four. It's like, what are you talking about?
We've heard they're a selling club, but yeah, we're not even going to bother.
Are people just taking the piss out of Newcastle now? Is everyone annoyed at what's happening?
The piss posse.
Speaking of Englishmen abroad, let us go to the United States of America.
Here we go.
If you're going to be dumb, you've got to be tough, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble! Chelsea are in the final and Calvin Phillips is on the move. It's Wednesday, 24th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Hi, everybody. What a show we've got for you today on this wonderful Wednesday. And what a way to start it. A little lyric there from Gary Ricks, friend of the Ramble, of course. Nice one, Ricksy, for that intro line. You can become a friend of the Ramble by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. And if you do that, you'll get a special extended version of the Ramble today and every single Wednesday for just $5 a month. So head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Gentlemen, we had a semi-final last night. And what a tie it was, Andy.
It was a great performance by Chelsea.
It's a tie around the neck. Pulled really taut.
I know, you didn't really get what I was at there, Andy, did you?
No, not really.
It was a shellacking. It was like Middlesbrough were baby seals and Chelsea were crazy Canadians. They absolutely clubbed them, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jim, what did you make of it?
My highlights for Middlesbrough were that they have a player called Marcus Force, which must be enjoyable for you.
Very enjoyable.
This is how much I have to reach. even when you factor in Morgan Rogers scoring a lovely goal, just puts him in the shop window.
Yeah.
Like, it could not really have gone much worse, could it? It's really, really unfortunate for them. I think essentially they just were the architects of their own downfall. They were too pumped up for it. And very, very early on, they just made mistakes that let Chelsea just take it away. And you could see the third goal is the point where you see Chelsea think, we're going to have a lovely time here. We're going to have a really nice
I think you're harsh on Middlesbrough saying they were, you know, saying that they were too pumped. I just think they just got battered by a much better team.
I think that was what, you know, opened the door for the battering.
I see.
I think they didn't have anything left in the tank. They've got a shit ton of injuries and a really talented set of players who are coming together as a team, who got a load of shit for their performance in the first leg, but still created enough chances to win it comfortably.
Can't forget that, Andy.
Started taking the chances. Because I remember thinking when they got to 2-0, they haven't really had that many opportunities. And that feels like a light bulb moment for this Chelsea. Because there have been moments of this season where they've played pretty well. You've been able to see what Pochettino is trying to do, but they've never looked capable of putting it in the back of the net. But all of a sudden, that click, click, clicked.
Well, but this is what I mean, though. I think Middlesbrough allowed that. You know, the second goal was a little bit of a mix-up in the box, perhaps harsh to characterise it like that. But obviously, Johnny Howson, you know, the own goal, really unfortunate. And that's a great example of what I mean. Just too ready to just go and
you really want to blame Middlesbrough for this, don't you?
They got beat 6-1, yes.
It's very hard, Marcus, to create memorable moments in a relatively unfashionable, unloved cup competition. But I think Cole Palmer and Sterling...
You still saw from last year's final?
I wanted to win it like anything, but I just think they did their very best to sort of go, come on, let's create some memories, guys. Yeah, and they did.
Yeah, Cole Palmer, is there one of the most delightful things at the moment in English football is when Cole Palmer opens the body and side-foots the ball at goal.
Oh, the little feint as well that he did for his first goal. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's gazelle-like. He's such a lovely player.
Yeah. Mm. I think, obviously, you know, the opposition plays into this a little bit with respect to Middlesbrough. But I think you can see where Chelsea are going to be good with some of these partnerships. Like a few years down the line, if they keep these players together and there's no reason they won't, you can see maybe they might get back to sort of business as usual. But it's Palmer, Fernandes, and the way they link up.
De Sassi was really great, I thought, as well. You know, just having that sort of marauding player on the right, because Chilwell made a massive difference to them.
Oh, first start in 118 days. Yeah, good to see him, Andy.
But to come back cold and play like that, I mean, they couldn't deal with him from the very off. And I think if you look at the way that Middlesbrough had lined up, we talked about the injuries, a huge part of what made them so competitive in the first leg is Isaiah Jones, who did the running of about three players. Mm-hmm. He's not there, and Chilwell can do what he likes.
Exactly. You look at the teams that went up last season and how they're faring in the Premier League this season, and then you see mid-table Middlesbrough, and to be honest, mid-table Sunderland as well, against Newcastle.
Against mid-table Chelsea.
that's the gap. That is the gap between the Premier League and the Championship, isn't it? That's the true gap, and that's what it shouldn't look like.
Yeah, true. Middlesbrough have spent a similar amount to Chelsea, though, haven't they? But I mean, when you say that if they can keep these players, you are right in saying that. But I don't think it's a question of keeping them. It's a question of not signing so many players that people go,
not replacing them.
We have to
do
squad rotation just to prove that we are actually using some of these.
There was a particularly sad moment after the third goal when the camera just cut to a succession of really disappointed middle-aged women. It was like they'd found the sort of Middlesbrough dinner ladies.
Oh, they were
fan
Middlesbrough
convention,
right? Yeah,
and just really focused on that.
Yeah, the camera operators are doing their job, though.
They are.
But Chelsea, they advanced to their 10th League Cup final, their third in six seasons. They do love this competition, Peter.
Yeah, and Middlesbrough advanced to Grantham Services on the way home. 1 o'clock in the morning.
There we are. So, as a Newcastle fan with a bit of rivalry with Middlesbrough, presumably you're very happy that Chelsea beat them.
Well, I don't think there is much rivalry, is there? I don't think there's any true rivalry between all these clubs, quite frankly.
There we go. Look at that.
Can't see the cell net. Enjoy the 90s, did you, lads?
That's the bigger dig, isn't it? Yeah. That's like Andy brushing off, MK Dons beating AFC Wimbledon last night. They're not a proper club. Don't care about that result.
They're a pastiche. They're Kevin McAllister with cutouts at the window.
Indeed. Your boys didn't need to have two men sent off at the end, though, Andy. No, that was a disgrace. We want to say for the record.
Childish.
Indeed. But Chelsea are through, and Pochettino said that he's desperate to win a trophy. If they win the League Cup, Andy, we've got a good chance. Is that papering over the cracks, do you think?
Well, it's a start. I think the cracks are evident enough that there really is no...
Bearing in mind Manchester United won it last season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure you can really make the connection. Mm-hmm. I think any sort of success for Chelsea this season is useful. Any one of those nights at Stamford Bridge where the fans are able to enjoy it. And the fans generally have been really, really patient. The match-going fans have been very, very patient with the club and their strategy, and arguably to an extent Pochettino as well, because there have been some complaints about him.
They often get digs on this show. I think they are actually fairly patient as fan bases go with regards to sort of managers and so on, because they're just so used to changes, I suppose.
Maybe, but we're talking about a change from being consistently competitive at the top of the Premier League, even when there's like chaos going on elsewhere in the club, to being absolutely out of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, this would be a consolation. But I think, you know, I think if you go back to the beginning of when Frank Lampard was in charge as well, when, you know, he was fairly successful within his remit, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's different him getting a little bit of slack, isn't it? Because he's a club legend. But now, I think, you know, you're seeing...
They were very patient with the Rafa Benitez, is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
What you mean. I think that you're right. I think that people, as we've talked about it before, there is this sort of disrespect with the League Cup. It's like, yeah, you won the League Cup, but you finished seventh. So, what? You know, there's a very much a concentration on league form, which
But there's got to be a realistic expectation for Chelsea at the beginning of this season.
Yeah.
I mean, like people who were saying, oh, I can see them sneaking into the top four. It's like, what are you talking about? No. Like, really, what are you talking about? I think this would be like a very nice consolation.
Sneak into the last four, maybe. And they've snuck all the way into the last two.
There we go.
So they could do it. But yeah, I mean, it's an impressive win for Chelsea. I mean, people might say it's only championship opposition, but that is a bit disrespectful to Middlesbrough. A huge win, no doubt. They'll be fancying themselves in the final.
It just reminds me of the point that I think you yourself made, Marcus, a little while ago about how the two-legged semi-final It makes it so much harder for the you know, quote-unquote smaller teams. And this is just a perfect illustration of it. If this was over one leg, we could have a really exciting situation.
Where you can catch them cold.
Final. Yeah,
you
exactly.
can get a bit lucky on the night or you can do very well on the night, you know, depending on
how you
look at it.
You can have that first leg.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way that they're going to go through with two legs. It's a very rare thing. I mean, I think it was, was it Bradford who did it against Aston Villa sort of 10, 11 years ago? But it's very, very rare indeed. Oh, but it was the conditions you'd think would have suited Middlesbrough, wouldn't you, Peter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was windy and cold.
Yeah. Right, okay. And industrial.
You know.
and my dad worked there.
Because in the tropical southeast of England, you don't have cold weather, you see. Indeed. Speaking of the weather, obviously Storm Aisha. Is it Aisha?
I don't know. I just launched it that... who did
Death
that song?
Vegas.
Death in Vegas and...
Iggy Pop.
Iggy Pop.
Yes. Aisha.
I'm a murderer.
I'm a murderer.
Oh, dear.
He got out.
Any more? I'm very intrigued.
Can't remember.
I'd like you to do their one with Liam Gallagher, actually.
How does it feel like? Was it the Chemical Brothers?
And Noel Gallagher, yeah.
Noel Gallagher.
That's fine. But look, I appreciated that.
I had a go.
That's all we want is to, much like Middlesbrough, I had a go. All right.
I had a try.
Storm Aisha has been obviously causing havoc in the country and also in football as well. Kendal Town FC and their fans have been stranded on the Isle of Man since Saturday because flights to Liverpool and Manchester aren't running until tomorrow.
I love a bit of Flight Radar 24 where planes are flying over to one place and going, whoa, no thanks. And going to Paris.
Land in Paris, yeah.
One of them landed in, I think they were trying to get to Edinburgh and then landed in like southern Spain or something. Absolutely.
Is that one?
Yeah,
I mean, not bad. That's great.
The one that landed in Paris, it took off from, was it Jersey? Going to England.
Yeah.
And you don't need your passport for that. Mm. Even though Jersey's it's a crown. It's a special state, it's a crown protector. Yeah. It's not actually in the UK, but you don't need your passport.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, actually, we better go to Paris, land in Paris. And it was like, some of us don't have passports. Well, you better stay on here then.
Yeah.
Crazy situation, Andy.
So I guess what we've been reduced to in this very, very quiet transfer window is not tracking what player is landing in the UK, but seeing where Kendal Town are at.
Yeah.
That's true.
Speaking of harsh conditions, Andy, you brought this to our attention. Denmark's at FC Midtjylland spent 3 days camping in the Scottish Highlands fairly recently.
All character building?
Well, it was apparently designed for players to find out who they really are, and it turns out they're all cowards. No, they're all hunters and gatherers.
They didn't eat for 24 hours at one point.
I love that.
To band together and essentially kill a deer.
God. I want to see what you've got.
Finding the nearest bothy and just going to sleep for 3 days. Get lost.
Get a few berries from somewhere.
Eat some fermented berries and go to sleep in a boffy.
This sounds good in the short term, Pete, but what about when you get back to training and you have to explain yourself?
I've been in a boffy, lads.
Everyone else has been in this amazing thing.
This is all about survival.
You ran and hid, basically.
It's all about survival. Uh-huh. And I've just been in a boffy for 3 days. I survived.
On the bench.
We learned.
Uh-huh. And Pete always carries a cereal bar with him as well.
I do, yeah.
So, you know.
What's that stuff that used to... Is it not pimento? The thing that used to like explorers and Native Australians, I think, used to pemmican.
Well, don't know what that is.
It used to have like it was meat, like really old, like rabbit or something.
Okay,
and then you'd mix in like some fruits as well.
Is it like pemmican. The South? It's not like the South African jerky you can get in corner shops.
Yes,
biltong.
I love that stuff. Love a bit of biltong.
Yeah.
Not enough fruit in it though.
No, okay. Or a can of spam. If you've got
can
it.
Of spam.
There we are.
It can last for 5 years, apparently, pemmican.
Pemmican, yeah. Pemmican can. It's the meat that can. Why isn't everybody just eating pemmican? Yeah, it sounds like a sort of thing you drop at the gym.
Yeah, not everyone's prepared to just sort of go and live in the woods like you are.
Right. I just dream. My life has got so busy recently. I just want to live in the woods. I could always just live in the woods.
Trouble with the missus? No.
It's an island I can see. It's called Two Tree Island. It's where people go to dog and fly RC planes. And I can see it from my window, and I always think I could just live over there for a bit.
Do they combine those things? Because that is quite
dangerous for propellers flapping around.
Captain dogging. My goodness. Yeah. Well, everybody, I think we were talking about the League Cup a minute ago. We'll talk about Fulham and Liverpool in the second half, which of course is happening tonight. Important information in terms of people travelling around and so on. We go to Jose Mourinho watch, everybody. He was spotted arriving at Barcelona airport on Sunday, and El Chiringuito, of course, were immediately on the scene.
See, when I read
you love El Chiringuito.
When I saw this, I was really, really excited. Yeah. I knew El Chiringuito was just dropped.
Can you explain that?
They never miss.
In case if a few people don't know El Chiringuito, how would you explain
the director of El Chiringuito just
couldn't explain El Chiringuito. he's like
a toddler with five scoops of Nesquik in a glass of milk. Yeah. He's mad.
It's a really, really over-the-top, dramatic Spanish football kind of chat show.
It's TMZ for teenagers who love sport.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a telenovela, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Japanese television for the Europeans.
Yeah.
Sugoi.
Again, for those who haven't got those descriptions.
Yeah. It's just absolute chaos. It's live. It's really over the top. They treat football like it's very, very serious.
Well,
it's
like a soap opera.
About things. Absolutely, very much like a soap opera.
Which you can't
So generally, they don't miss. And I'm excited if a new El Chiringuito drops. This one is just someone holding a microphone up at Jose Mourinho, asking him questions that he's ignoring. It's like, come on, Jose.
But they like El Chiringuito is streamed on Twitch 24/7. And you turn it on any time. Yeah. They are doing an instant replay of a looped ball and a nothing handball just outside the box.
Is it always on?
It's always on.
What, it's like a 24-hour thing?
Yeah. I don't know if it's 24 hours, but it's certainly on all the time on Twitch.
Is that why they're always turning the light off in the studio?
Yeah.
So Josep Pedrerol can just get 40 winks section.
So you've just got people with like iPhone and on Zoom, like really brightly lit Zoom rooms, and they're just screaming at the television, just watching this kind of same crappy decision in the Spanish league, just repeated over and over again.
It's compulsive viewing, but
I'll get it up now. I'll see what they're up to.
Oh, it's still the same decision. So Mourinho is there. What's he doing in Barcelona? What is he doing there?
He's got a house
there. Yes, they're watching planes.
There's Mourinho
taking Williams's plane. What they're doing, Andy?
Ian Williams
coming
is
back.
Literally
Iñaki
coming
Williams.
Home from the African Cup of Nations.
Beautiful. They're watching the plane land.
And there's the plane landing.
There's a plane landing.
Yeah, he'll be getting out any minute. That's how it works. Yeah, Mourinho in Barcelona is a stranger one. Maybe he's just gone there to say, oh, I've got more money than you lot.
Isn't it? It's the fact that Xavi is under extraordinary pressure at the moment.
So he'll leave at the end of the season if he doesn't win a trophy, Andy?
It's much easier to say that when you know he said that the day before Atletico Madrid were playing Real Madrid in the Copa del Rey.
Do you reckon?
Brave man, eh?
Yeah.
I mean,
he could have done without that Saudi Super Cup thing.
Yeah. I think there's more chance of any of us being offered the Barcelona job than Jose Mourinho, of course.
Is Jose petty enough, though, that he would come to Barcelona just to create these rumours?
That's exactly what he's
doing. Of course he's doing, yeah.
Exactly what he's doing.
Got no reason to be there.
I love the fact that there's chat that Napoli are reportedly lining talks up with him. Mourinho in Napoli. Glorious nonsense. There's also reports in France that Newcastle United are interested in him.
I mean, I could see it happening, to be honest.
Would you want it?
Newcastle can't spend any money, so what do you do to, you know, drop a bit of LSD in the water? Jose Mourinho.
Surely the last person you get in if you can't spend any money.
Well, yeah, true, but I could see him doing it.
It would be funny.
It is going to be a fallow year for Newcastle, isn't it? So
true enough.
We're not going to do anything in Europe.
Do they not have enough tyrants? Yeah, you don't want to add Jose to the mix, do you?
That's true, yeah. I mean, presumably, Andy, there's no truth in this.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay, that's sad. Where would you... I mean, but what about the Napoli one? Is there any kind
I could see that happening. I mean, unless they want to let the rest of this season peter out into nothingness. They brought back Walter Mazzarri, who's had a very dry 10 years since he's left Napoli. And, you know, their already not great form has totally tanked since he's come back. I think to create that sense, why he did so well at Roma, and let's be fair that most of the Roma fans were really sorry to see him go. I think what he did so well is he created that sense of, as Nicky was saying on OTC, I will fight for you. It's us against the world. And Napoli love a bit of that. You know, that's one of the reasons why Maradona succeeded there.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, no, that's it. All right, everybody. Coming up in the second half, we've got Calvin Phillips, Miggy Almiron, and some wonderful scenes in the Africa Cup of Nations. See you in a moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Gleeson has the ball and dims it in towards the penalty area. Brennan Camp does a very good job there of holding Maycock.
Oh dear. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right then, let's have some transfer chat. West Ham and Manchester City have agreed a loan deal for Calvin Phillips. It's happening. Mm. He's going to play some football, you would think. But if James Ward-Prowse keeps him out the side, he's going to go, bloody hell, come on. But yeah, he's made just 31 appearances for Manchester City since signing from Leeds in July 2022.
Genuinely surprised it's that many. I presume a lot of them are off the bench for like 2 minutes. But still.
And in the League Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Several other clubs were interested, but the loan fee was apparently what put some people off, including Newcastle United. Were you surprised it was West Ham, considering some of the teams that were in the name? I mean, it was Juventus were.
I'm not actually, purely because they're clearly kind of looking to make some moves in this window. They're one of the few clubs that are being linked with a lot of names and seem to be actively looking at stuff. Apparently, they were looking at a loan deal for Emil Smith Rowe, which Arsenal didn't sanction. But there's talk of like Wilfred Nonto as well, a few other players knocking about. I think they understand that they're in a really good position again. They want to consolidate. It makes sense for them to try and do some smart business. Now, I imagine they've gone early on Phillips, maybe paid a little bit more on the loan fee just to get him, because they have a brilliant squad at the moment. And if they can get Phillips in, maybe keep him around. Maybe it says to some of those other players they have, those real, you know, really exciting players that we're building something here. We might do something, stick around for a bit, and who knows what might happen.
Slightly building on that, I think the Sheffield United game at the weekend is what makes you think we'll spend a little bit extra and get Calvin Phillips in. Because even though the numbers don't look horrendous, they've not defended that well this season. That defence really needs a bit of extra protection in front of it that you think Phillips would provide. Mm. The other thing is Edson Álvarez has been really good since they go there. Yeah. You look at how the front part of the team has sort of been decimated by losing Paquetá, by Kudus going off. And you know, they're incredibly reliant on Bowen, of course. If Álvarez went down, they would be absolutely stuck. Mm-hmm. Absolutely stuck. So you feel that Phillips could play next to Álvarez or instead of him as well. Because presumably after the last year and a half, you can't have Phillips coming in and playing every week immediately.
Mm. And West Ham of European football as well. I assume Calvin Phillips, he wouldn't be cup tied because if he did play, he would have been in the Champions League, so it would be fine for the Europa League.
Well, that doesn't make any difference. It's a UEFA competition, but you can have three players that switch over now.
Oh, okay.
So that's fine. So it's kind of like a cup tie joker, if you like. But all the other clubs you were talking about, the big clubs that we're interested in to some extent, they all inquired. I don't know how prepared they were to go the full way because all the other clubs that were linked for him just don't have the money to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Juventus don't have the money to make it happen. Barcelona don't have the money to make it happen.
Yeah.
Newcastle, we know the spot they're in.
But also as well, I mean, you know, West Ham, as you say, Jim, are a club with a good squad who are having a decent season. And we've talked about Moyes and are all the fans, you know, enjoying the football that much. But in terms of playing and in terms of the profile, it's there. I mean, do you think David Moyes, when he was making his sales pitch to Calvin Phillips, says, look, I know obviously you've got the Euros in mind in the summer, you want to get minutes under your belt. And he just said, is what happened when Jesse Lingard came on loan that time? And then played in the goals and went, even he got into the England squad. So you've got all the chance in the world. I mean, I'm very pleased because we know he's a talented player and obviously it helps England as well. And that's always the bigger picture.
Yeah.
But it will be good to see him playing some football because it's been such a waste at Manchester City. I mean, Pep has pretty much said that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it's not... Pep plays the team he thinks is best. And when we say he signed for a huge amount of money, yeah, it seems pretty grotesque for most clubs, but we know Manchester City have got it. And, you know, as I say, Jack Grealish was 100 million when he first went there and sat on the bench to kind of get the style and the tactics and all. So for them to bench Phillips and not play him is not absolutely outrageous like it would be for some other sides. But for what Pep was saying, I think he was a bit like, yeah, he really needs to play football, but he's not going to play here. So it's a good deal all round. Really.
Yeah, but I think it was interesting in what Guardiola said that he actually sounded in his own passive aggressive way like really quite disappointed in Calvin Phillips.
There was a bit of that, yeah.
And I think in that sense, Phillips has actually got a lot to prove over the next 4 or 5 months, hasn't he? Mm-hmm.
He does. He does. Gentlemen, let's turn our attention back to Newcastle United, if we can. Miguel Almiron could be off to Al Shabab in Saudi Arabia. People are often quick to point out which clubs are owned by the Piff Posse and which aren't. I don't think we should differentiate too much between that group and the other group because...
I'm sure that's the full extent of their influence. Yeah.
But yes, what do you think of this one, Peter? Newcastle United need money. There's a club in Saudi Arabia that are offering big money for Miggy.
But that's the thing.
Seems convenient all round, I'm saying.
Every transfer from Newcastle United to any team in Saudi Arabia is obviously ridiculous. Al Shabab does mean the youth, and he's a youthful looking guy.
He is.
So that does fit. But,
no more for the further questions.
but the price people are. That's what I don't understand. Obviously, the relation with any Saudi Arabian club is a fucking disgrace and a joke. But 30 million for an established Premier League footballer who was last injured for more than 30 days back in 2018, 2019.
Oh, right?
He's a mainstay. He's got Champions League experience. Mm-hmm. Why is everyone barking at 30 million for me?
Exactly.
He's 29. I don't understand it.
It's mates rates, well, basically, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, massively.
I think you have a school of thought that some people are thinking that's a good price and others are saying, blimey, that's pretty cheap because maybe some people who haven't watched Newcastle that much, you know,
they're still remembering. Yeah, they couldn't score.
Well, you have those Benitez era.
You have that era. Then you have those who remember when he couldn't stop scoring. He scored that volley at Fulham and all that. Whereas actually, the truth is sort of somewhere in between. I mean, incredibly hardworking player, it does lack a little bit of quality sometimes.
I don't know about that. I think he's consistently impactful. No. I think if you're selling
him... He has his critics.
If you're selling him, fine. But if you're selling him on the open market, I think 40 million or maybe a little bit more is fair enough.
Double your money from the record that we paid.
But are you surprised then? I mean, Newcastle have had their injuries. If you're saying that Miguel Almirón is a player who... you know, brings all that kind of stuff, then why are they selling him? Is it purely just FFP?
Because they've got Gordon, they've got Harvey Barnes. You don't want to sell Joe Linton. You don't want to sell Bruno Guimaraes. Ideally, clearly, they don't want to sell Kieran Trippier either.
And Newcastle obviously now have probably... I mean, the club have, over the past few kind of months, been quite underhand with their public protestations that they need to sell and do all the stuff that they say they purport to have to do. And it looks like, accounts-wise, that's certainly the case. When you have that reputation of being a selling club, you are kind of open to a lot of bids, and that's what's happening at the moment, I think. And, you know, clubs like Bayern, they obviously need a right-back, and obviously the price goes up. If you're trying to bid on Kieran Trippier with like 12 million euros or 12 million pounds, like you're not going to prize a really important player, talismanic player, away from Newcastle United. But Miguel Almirón, I mean, I think he should go for more. I don't want him to go to Saudi Arabia. That's ridiculous.
Apparently he doesn't want to go as well, which is obviously a factor.
Oh,
well, there's a conflicting report, though. Some people saying he's up for it.
Right.
So it really does depend. I mean...
The thing is, it's the lack of transparency is the issue, isn't it? Whether it seems like a sort of fair market rate for him or not, that is always going to be the issue. Even if they get him for absolute peanuts, it's really the process is the issue.
But don't you think it's going to become potentially more difficult to sell players to Saudi Arabia, whether you're Newcastle, Chelsea, anyone else, because we're getting the first wave of players going, actually, it's a bit shit.
Well, it was like Chinese league, wasn't it?
That was different because they quite visibly run out of money and, you know, government policy changed. But to have players, I mean, it's one thing Jordan Henderson going, I don't like it here. It's one thing Aymeric Laporte going, there's quite a lot of traffic in Riyadh or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's another thing Karim Benzema going, yeah, I'm not into it.
Well, there are other players that could leave Newcastle United. As you say, Kieran Trippier is one of them. I mean, they turned down £12.8 million for him. Now, he's an important player. He's 33, though, so...
Yeah,
but why would you do that to yourself?
Well, you've got Liveramento to come in if he's...
But he's not... At that point in his career, he's still not Kieran Trippier with the influence he has. He's the on-pitch captain.
That's like, it.
It just seems insane.
That's it, isn't it?
Bayern testing Trippier, though?
I've got no doubt in my mind there will be more bids, closer, you know, to 20 million euros, but I just can't see... It's just not good business for Newcastle, and I know Bayern have got a couple of other players that they're also looking at right back, but they really need someone, and I think apparently half the Bayern Munich kind of higher ups aren't convinced by what Kieran Trippier can bring, which surprises me because it's like, have you seen him play? He's brilliant.
Yeah, they're looking at the mistake. They're still remembering
the header.
You could say the last couple of months, something's happened with his form, hasn't it? But I think it's funny. This is what happens when you let Thomas Tuchel overstep the mark and do whatever. He's like, I know a load of guys from the Premier League.
I love it.
They'll all want to play for me. Yeah. They're 33. I don't give a shit. We got the money. Also, I'm not going to be here in 6 months. Yeah. So I don't give a shit if he's 33. Come
he's
on.
Getting the band back together.
He is, yeah.
But the band is hard-fi.
I can see Kane, Dyer and him.
I was about to say, I think it's also a case
hard to beat.
Harry Kane, who are your favourite people in that England squad? Because we'll get them all in.
Yeah.
Then we'll do that. Yeah. Did you see that Atletico Madrid made a loan offer for Callum Wilson?
Yeah. There's nothing in that for Newcastle.
We've heard they're a selling club, but we're not even going to bother.
People just taking the piss out of Newcastle now. Is everyone annoyed at what's happening?
Piss posse.
trying to just clog up all the admin.
Yeah, just keep them busy so they don't do anything.
I think if you're Callum Wilson, you'd be really flattered by that, wouldn't you? I mean, if it's up to him, you surely would take that.
Yeah. I just can't. I mean, am I right in thinking Alexander Isak would be the only other striker there?
I think valuable striker. I would say valuable striker.
I'm talking from Wilson's point of view. Yeah. Is that not a flattering thing that a club the size of Atletico Madrid, who are fourth?
Give him Jeff Hendrick. He's done the books.
Is he really? I don't know. I think if you were Wilson and it was up to you, surely you would go. Just 5 months or whatever it would be. out in Madrid.
It will be one. It'll be podcast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It'll be 1 month out of five that he's fit.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, you know, put your feet up and enjoy the tapas for exactly. the rest of it. I would say there has been reports about other players. Bruno Guimaraes, you don't want to lose him, of course. He did go to Disneyland Paris recently. So that does mean he's going to PSG.
Disneyland Paris in January.
Yeah.
There's not a Wayne Rooney lolly big enough to salve that wound.
Paris is so cold in the winter as well. It's like, I sort of love this, that people have put two and two together like that. I love the idea that PSG might try and woo players by going, hey, we've got amazing access to Disneyland. I can understand Stoke doing that with Alton Towers.
Yeah, that's the best they've got. Yeah.
PSG are probably a bit more big time than that.
It's one of the five places you can fly to directly from Newcastle that's not in Poland, basically.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, anyway, speaking of Englishmen abroad, let us go to the United States of America.
Here we go.
This is, and you're right to whisper it, Jim. Harvey Neville is currently on trial with Portland Timbers. Now, of course, Harvey Neville is signed to Inter Miami at the moment, but he's having a trial all the way the opposite end of the country with Portland Timbers.
How do you think he'll fare in this trial, Marcus?
Well,
will he do his chores?
Let me remind you that his dad, Fizz, is in charge of Portland Timbers.
Yeah, yes, he is. Nevo, baby.
Yeah. Oh, get your photography book out. Love it.
Can we send for Harvey now? No, you've been here for 2 days, right? Just wait. Can we send for Harvey? No, let us get Christmas out of the way. And now he's going there. I mean, it's lovely, isn't it, Andy?
The thing is, I know it's easy to get stuck into Phil Neville over this, but like, coaches do this left
all
and right.
All the time, usually ex-Man United coaches. Yeah,
the guy who's the coach of Hertha Berlin, Pal Dardai, he's got three of his sons playing in the first 11.
Keep an eye on them. That's the thing, isn't it?
I'm sure they're very good.
Yeah.
Second division mid-table Hertha, who spent $400 million on players over the last 5 years.
Yeah, I just think it's lovely. I really, really do.
It's just Harvey Neville's just had a lot of... if you type Harvey Neville into Google, there's a lot of shirts he's worn.
There's
a lot of shirts he's worn.
Yeah, I did. Well, we wish him luck, of course. Yeah. It's not too late for the Euros. Right, let's move on to the Africa Cup of Nations. Blimey. Now, this tournament has been quite something for shocks and for drama. Well, Cameroon, who we really enjoyed watching at the World Cup in Qatar, who provided us with some great moments there, they qualified for the last 16 after a chaotic win against the Gambia. One of the commentators calling them the Gambia, the co-commentators calling them Gambia.
Okay. He's going to lose his voice, that bloke.
Oh, my goodness. I love the BBC commentator. He's brilliant. He's so passionate.
He's not only doing a lot of games, but he gets excited very quickly.
I love him. I can't get enough of him.
Yet maintains that level of excitement.
But he's a good commentator, because you think sometimes with commentators like that, they're kind of a more local commentator in, say, like FA Cup early rounds or something.
Yeah.
Was this guy, I think he's a business.
He's definitely mastered circular breathing to keep up that level of intensity. He's like the Miles Davis of commentary.
Yeah, I like that. But he was losing his mind, because Cameroon went 2-1 down against Gambia in the 84th minute. And they needed to win, and they did. They came back 3-2. And then minutes after Cameroon got the third in the 91st minute, Gambia had a corner and it came in. And it was quick. It looks like at first viewing that the guy does nod it in. Mm. The commentator, you are kidding me! Well, of course he was, because it was a clear handball. Yeah. And VAR did its job. Did you see that handball?
Yeah.
It was how blatant.
Scandalous. But it was at the point where it's like he's got no other choice at that point,
totally.
Apart from move his head.
Yeah.
Commit,
dive at it. What a game it was. But yeah, they qualified behind Senegal, who beat Guinea 2-0. One of the most wonderful stories of AFCON this time round. We've enjoyed Bebe and Cape Verde. But Mauritania, they beat Algeria 1-0 to knock out Algeria, who had won the competition previously. But this was their first ever AFCON win, and they've gone through to the next round. And you saw what it meant to them after the game. Aboubakar Kamara, or AK-47, as I believe he wants to be called now, like punching his chest. And he's only been playing for them for a couple of years, but he gets it. And there was a great summary of their journey on Twitter by, or should I say X, of course, by Sadiq Adams, who is a Ghanaian journalist. And he talked about Mauritania, how between 1995 and 2003, they never won a single football match. They withdrew from the AFCON qualifiers in 2010 due to financial crisis. In 2011, they were ranked 207th by FIFA. They were practically the poorest country, football country, should I say, in the world. And then they got a new president in. They restructured the league, set up youth teams, blah, 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 blah. They used the money from the FIFA Gold Project funds, renovated their stadium, headquarters. And so this is a real success story.
Yeah.
Especially from FIFA. You know, we stick the boot into FIFA, and rightly so. But the money FIFA gave them, they really, really used. And on his tour of Africa, Infantino praised Mauritania as one of the few African countries with proper accountability on their FIFA funds. There's a video online to show you.
It's the, like the it's like an African version of Iceland, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, if you take into account more, like it's even more spectacular, of course.
In terms
it's more
of extreme. Time scale, yeah.
Well, in terms of time scale, in terms of everything,
and where they've come from as well.
Yeah, completely. So to win their first game, but not just that, to go through. And that's what it is, you know, with these footballing stories, you want people to create legacies and to have hang your hat on something. So you can say to the youngsters, look, do you remember that video? Or if you were too young in years to come, look at that.
Yeah. To beat Algeria too, a team who won it in 2019, a huge, huge name in African football.
Totally.
To go through at their expense. Mm-hmm. Absolutely seismic.
Yeah, it is. It's glorious. So it's kind of shaping up. Angola went through top of the group, beating Burkina Faso as well. Ghana, who went out, of course. I still cannot believe they're out. There was did you see the footage of Mohamed Kudus, who was given the man of the match? He was gutted. He's bereft. I hope he can raise it when he gets back to London, for crying out loud. Because I mean, he's absolutely heartbroken. But they've sacked Chris Hughton.
Yeah.
After they've gone out.
I think it's their second very poor AFCON in a row, like Algeria, really. Yeah. So, I mean, it's clearly not all down to him. Actually, it's amazing, isn't it? It's always amazing when you have a major world or continental championship, and the way in which all the emotions are intensified. So the coaches just go like that. And so he had Jamal Bemadi as well leaving Algeria straight away. I mean, he told the players in the dressing room afterwards that I'm off.
Yeah.
What I guess you could say with both Hughton and Bemadi, you know, there's no option. You know, it's obvious because of the way it ended and because of the way that last game ended for Ghana.
And now this is quite nice. We got our listener and friend of the Ramble, Paddy, got in touch with us on Discord. And we've been talking about Cape Verde, loving them, of course, loving Bebe. And Paddy said, well, I just listened to Monday's Ramble when we were chatting about Cape Verde struggling for players. Cape Verde, should I say. And he said, well, I went to school with one of their centre-backs currently at the AFCON. He's born and bred in Ireland, which is where Paddy's from as well, plays in the League of Ireland and got called up to the Cape Verde squad in 2019 because the manager messaged him on LinkedIn. He nearly ignored it because he thought, for obvious reasons, it was a scam. But he got in touch. The centre-back is Roberto Lopez and he plays for Shamrock Rovers. Pete, you've always got to check your LinkedIn.
I do, but the only LinkedIn message I always get is from LinkedIn saying, please add Luke Moore as one of your friends. And I've not done it.
Well, Luke's trying to offer you something. It might not be a place in a potential AFCON side.
Yeah, I think he's trying to kill me.
Okay, well,
it's a trick.
But I mean, that is great stuff.
It's enjoyable.
I mean, how do you get in touch with players? I mean, sure, there's a database of phone numbers or something that can be.
But is there?
But there isn't, because the football is the Wild West. We assume there's so much infrastructure in football, but there isn't. It's all just fax machines and phone calls.
Well, look at Brereton Diaz, how he came about.
Yes, exactly. Football manager. Yeah.
It was a group of Chilean supporters who always sort of trawl Football Manager and so on, seeing are there any players who could be eligible for Chile?
Mm.
And they found him, and that's how that came
about.
Lovely
time.
Yeah. There you see, Andy. All makes sense in the end.
Yeah, I think so. It's just all modern versions of Roy Essendon getting called up on teletext by Wickham.
Oh, yeah.
And then scoring the winner in the cup at Leicester.
He never got called up. They put the call out and then he responded. That would be odd trying to specifically communicate
with him. Get called up for
him.
A club team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps a slightly misguided lexicon.
Like jury service, is it? Sadly.
Who would you fancy for AFCON? You think Senegal, could they retain it?
Well, they look the most reliable so far, don't they?
They do, yeah. Although I do, I mean, let's see, obviously, but Nigeria with Alex Iwobi and Calvin Bassey in there. The Fulham boys, Andy. Are you going to comment or just laugh?
I'm just going to laugh.
Up yours then. Well, let's talk about Fulham then. They play Liverpool tonight. And it's, you know, I am worried. I'll be honest with you.
We're going, aren't we?
We are going, Jim.
I feel like we're going to watch a snuff movie. I feel like
right.
I'm mentally preparing myself in the same way that I would do for that.
Is that because you're going back to the scene of where Arsenal lost 2-1?
That might be it.
Yeah. Shove it up your bollocks. Yeah.
I'm assuming that Fulham are going to give Liverpool a battering, actually, mate. I don't see how Liverpool are going to get past Portugal's longest man.
That's true.
I think home advantage is huge.
It absolutely is. Well, despite you being at the game, I'm going to be doing a Ramble Reacts with Andy afterwards. So do come and join us as we plan Fulham's Carabao Cup trophy parade. So yes, I'll have been to the game. You know, you may see me doing knee slides on the pitch or the stand if Fulham are victorious. But that episode will be available soon after the game finishes. I've got to get home, obviously, first.
Yeah, if you could limit, Jim, his post-match celebrations, that would be much appreciated.
You know I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't cage such a beast.
Jim and Marcus at this match is going to be like, you know, in Hostel where the businessman is back betting on stuff. Two crazy men watching a murder.
Where's that
pressing
come
their
from?
Little buttons.
Where's that come from?
Absolutely outrageous. But fair. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/afootballramble. Do follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Petey.
Farewell.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
And good luck, Fulham.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and 5 types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.